40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. A third key Trump co-defendant in the Georgia election case cuts a deal with prosecutors.
I believe in and I value election integrity. If I knew then what I know now, I would have declined to represent Donald Trump in these post-election challenges.
Former Trump lawyer Jenna Ellis pleading guilty to a lesser felony charge. Legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
Trump wanted to be able to rely on a defense called assistance of counsel. When you have three of your counsels pleading guilty to criminal violations, that becomes more complicated, to say the least.
This morning, former President Trump called his former lawyer Michael Cohen a liar and felon. Cohen heading in to testify at the Trump civil fraud trial.
Yes, I pled guilty to a 1001 violation, which was lying to Congress. I did it at the direction of, in concert with, and for the benefit of Donald J. Trump.
One by one, Republicans who want to be the next House Speaker are being eliminated in a closed-door Republican vote. CBS's Scott McFarland says Minnesota's Tom Emmer could be there at the end.
He is a part of Republican leadership already. The House Republican whip, he has a base of support, he has a leadership infrastructure, and as somebody who helped run the Republican campaign committee for two cycles, he also has relationships with the rank and file.
5,000 more UAW members are now on strike against Detroit's Big Three, walking out this morning at a GM SUV plant in Arlington, Texas. Israel says it hit 400 Hamas targets from the air over the last 24 hours as the UN sounds humanitarian alarms over the situation in Gaza.
The situation in the Middle East is growing more dire by the hour.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said even war has rules and civilians, he says, are suffering.
I appeal to all to pull back from the brink before the violence claims even more lives and spreads even further.
He said the war has created deep divisions throughout the region, which are alarming, and he's called for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire.
That's CBS's Cammy McCormick. In Georgia, a new legal action keeps a restrictive state abortion law in place.
The state Supreme Court reverses the decision of a Fulton County trial court that deemed the six-week ban on abortions null.
It is a body blow to heartbeat law opponents.
Legal analyst Ron Carlson tells me.
So Georgia's strong restrictions on abortion after 6 weeks remains in effect. The heartbeat law still controls Georgia abortion law.
The state Supreme Court did not address the right to privacy issue in this ruling. Michelle Wright for CBS News, Atlanta.
The Dow is up 200 points. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The Germantown police officers who were involved in the shooting outside Kennedy Middle School last night have been placed on administrative leave. The incident occurred when officers responded to a report of an individual acting erratically in the school's parking lot. That person climbed onto the roof of the school and fired shots at the officers, prompting them to return fire. As a result, the school district made the decision to close both the affected school and the entire district today. Artificial turf is being delivered this week to Waukesha's Mendiola Park. The installation of the turf will take a few weeks, and when that's done, the project will be almost completed. The second phase of the Mendiola Park soccer complex was funded by a combination of CIP and ARPA funds. The development of the south side of the park was a priority. The complex will soon be available for more tournaments, leagues, and rentals. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
I always like to go back to what Tom Cruise said. Just take a walk.
That's where you get your advice.
Well, don't you remember that long time ago, Brooke Shields talked about postpartum depression going on medication? He's like, you should just go for a walk around the block.
That's so like a man.
More great words from men.
Yeah, there's a segment right there, Greg Buck.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Timeout.
All right.
Hey, remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. Welcome into a Tuesday, October 21st, 2023. It is 6 minutes past 12 noon. Welcome into our new time slot for those that might not have heard or have misheard. Lots of misinformation, as Trump once said, fake news. We're actually on at noon these days. So here we are. Mr. Zommers looking particularly cool today with your tie-dye t-shirt. What do you got on today, Mr. Zommers?
I do have a tie-dye t-shirt. It's got some white, some blue, some orange and yellow. It is, you can't read it, even if I did stand up and show the whole thing on the stream, because, you know, relatively dark colored shirt and black printing. It is from Lettuce Jam, that music festival at Wonka's Harvest that I went to over the summer.
Fantastic. Looking very colorful. And appropriate to wear cool clothing today. It is warm, almost hot outside right now.
It's pretty toasty. You'll notice that Todd is back to wearing a t-shirt, despite it being in the season, you'd think, of flannel.
But no, I'm a t-shirt. I have opted for pants. We have decided not to have a pantsless Tuesday.
I had decided to have a pantsless Tuesday. It's pretty toasty.
It's and unusually warm weather throughout the state of Wisconsin, or at least most of Wisconsin. And but enjoy it, because it's going to get downright cold. Pardon me, I believe temperatures only in the 40s in some areas of the state by the weekend. So enjoy the weather, warm weather. Things are heating up out in Washington, D.C. as well. We're going to cover that for you. The latest on Tom Emmer being the nominee of the Republican Party for Speaker of the House as they try to sort out the chaos, which is the Republican caucus right now in the House of Representatives. We will talk about that. Also, Trump world flipping more than Cirque du Soleil actors. I mean, just people are flipping on Trump left and right. Jenna Ellis is the latest one to do so. Michael Cohen testifying right now as we speak. Trump, while this guy is testifying, tweeting out old tweets from Michael Cohen, just intimidating him right in the courtroom. Unbelievable. We'll talk about that. Also give you an update on what's happening with the war on Israel and Hamas, a Wisconsin connection there. And it, pardon me, a little frog in the throat, Mr. Zommers. I'm not sure what's going on.
Need to take a little sip of water.
There. Maybe. And remember, as David Letterman likes to say, anytime you see me, your radio and streaming friend, enjoy a beverage is a great time for you, the listening audience, to take a beverage as well. Here we go. All we're missing is Paul Schaefer and a little piano music, but that's fine. Wouldn't it be fantastic if we could book Paul Schaefer?
You know, no harm in trying.
No harm in trying. Better chance the Badgers win on Saturday. Oh, I actually think they could win on Saturday. It's teeing itself up to one of those key Wisconsin wins. Ohio State comes into Camp Randall on Saturday. A lot more about that as the week progresses. Did we say 12:30? Our friend Luke Mathers. Tuesday Tangents with Luke. He will be
12:30 or 1:30?
12:30 today.
Ah, first hour now.
He's very well. Just he wanted to be on at 12:30. I said anytime you want. So we got Luke Stern at 12:30. We're going to talk about some things down from his original neck of the woods in kind of southeast Wisconsin, Menominee Falls. There are some book bannings in 2023. We're not talking about Salem or witch hunting. We're talking about Menominee Falls, Wisconsin in 2023. So anyway, we're going to talk about that. Also, happier news, Giannis Antetokounmpo signing a new 3-year extension with Milwaukee Bucks. So that's some good news out there.
He loves Milwaukee, man.
Right.
And we love him.
We love him.
Also, so. Speaking of the frog in the throat, Jeff Perry has commented on Facebook with some good advice. The best cure for a frog in the throat, no pants.
What? I didn't. Well, I'll remove them right now. As a matter of fact, I won't. I'll keep the pants on. I did that one time when I worked at the Capitol. It looked like he had regular shorts on, but I told the staff we were going to have pantsless Thursday and nobody believed me. And so I went to work and then right outside our office door, I removed my pants, put them over my arm and just walked in and acted like nothing unusual was going on.
You got to commit to the bit.
You got to commit to the bit. Exactly. That's what your tax dollars were paying for. It was all a good-natured fun, for goodness sake. But we'll keep our pants on, and 12:30, Luke Mathers will be here, and we'll talk to him as well. And then coming up in hour two, our brand-new segment, What's Worse? Have a brand-new question for you at hour number two. You can call in and participate in What Is Worse. So all that coming up here on the big program today. And of course, your calls as well, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to what is breaking at this hour. Representative U.S. Congressman Tom Emmer of our next door neighbor, Minnesota, has emerged as the House Republicans' latest speaker nominee after GOP members conducted a multi-round secret ballot voting session this morning. According to Representative Elise Stefanik, Emmer defeated a panel of 7 other fellow Republicans this morning to earn the nomination. However, it remains to be seen whether he will have the necessary votes on the House floor to get the gavel. Here's how it went down. Emmer got 117 votes. Representative Mike Johnson of Louisiana got 97. 5 other people voted for someone else, and the one person voted present. Even in caucus, somebody just voted present. Is Emmer the guy? And could Democrats help this guy out? Maybe not vote for him, but how can Democrats help? There are rumors on Capitol Hill. We'll let you know what they are. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get a family-supporting job in the water industry with great pay. There's a career fair October 26th from 3 until 6 p.m. at Mitchell Street Arts in Milwaukee. For details, go to onewateourwater.com. That's onewateourwater.com.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High temperatures reach up to 76 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies, winds out of the southwest 10 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers likely tonight. Lows level off around 59. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 66. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tahlil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 15 past the hour of 12 noon. Mr. Zommer's on the board. Glad to have you along on the program. Should Democrats help Tom Emmer be elected Speaker of the House? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Should Democrats help Tom Emmer, who is the nominee currently for Republicans for House Speaker? He got 117 votes in caucus, still short of the 217 total needed to win the speakership on the floor. Now you ask, who the heck is Tom Emmer? Well, he is the House Majority Whip.
And now hold on a second, Todd. What the hell is a House Majority Whip?
Contrary to popular belief, there is BDSM in the House of Representatives. There are whips, but no chains, as it turns out. That's actually a great question, and I appreciate you asking it because I've been around this stuff for so long, it just becomes second nature to me. And you're absolutely right. A lot of people say, why are you using the term House Whip? Thank you.
I'm not just asking that for the audience. I have no idea.
You know what? I bet you there are a lot of other people that don't know either. Thank you for so very much for asking. A House Whip, and you can have a House Majority Whip and a House Minority Whip. And they use the term, and it's a very dated term. And quite frankly, it's a little surprising that it's still used. Because what it means, so you have the majority, you have the Speaker of the House, then you have a majority leader, the person who is elected by their own caucus to lead their party in the House. So you have a majority leader and a minority leader in the House. You also have an assistant majority and minority leader in the House. So that makes sense, right, so far. And then you have something called the House Majority Whip and the House Minority Whip. And the whip is literally the person that is put in charge by the majority leader or by leadership in order to, I'm not making this up, whip votes into shape or whip members in, yes, just like that, to whip them into shape. Basically the person in charge of counting the votes, but not just counting the votes. They're also, usually it's a person who has great diplomatic and or authoritative skills, because what the whip does is he or she stays in touch with all the other members of their caucus, especially on important votes. And then they'll say something, they'll count the votes and be like, well, how many votes do we have here? And then if there's anybody on the fence, all right, if they're on the fence, then it is up to the whip to, figuratively, they don't actually use a whip that I know of, but figuratively whip that member into line. So if they're on the fence, you say, well, look, can I help you understand this bill better? Can I help you understand how this is important to your district? That's the nice way to do it. And the not so nice way to do it, and this happens all the time. All right, if I can't help you understand how this helps your district, let me help you understand this. If you don't vote for this, we're not going to give you any money in your reelection, or we will find somebody to primary you. I mean, that probably isn't used. Well, I don't know. I was going to say not that often. I think it's used more often now, but it's the very partisan person in your caucus. But usually it's someone who you don't want to go that far first. You want to be diplomatic. You want to say, how can I help you get there? What kind of an amendment can I put on this bill to get your vote?
I doubt that's still the practice based right. on how the Republican Party nationally, the leadership look.
Right.
I'm sure.
It's probably much more the threatening.
Yeah, if there was a whip like that, they are probably getting whipped out.
All right, exactly. That's a great question. I appreciate it because, again, somebody who has been in politics for 30 years is just second nature to me. But I'm sure there's a lot of people that aren't familiar with politics. So great question, Mr. Thomas. I appreciate you bringing that up. So Emmer has served as this guy, has served as the person, the House Majority Whip. And so, therefore, he has this in already with a number of the members. He knows them because he's gone around and talked to them or their staff to get their vote. So Emmer said in a letter to his colleagues on Saturday, this past weekend, that he was seeking the speakership with the goal of delivering, quote unquote, historic change. Now, Kevin McCarthy backed the Minnesota Republicans for speaker, which helped his candidacy in the early run. Emmer, here's the key on him. He's one of only two people that were up for consideration who voted to certify the 2020 election in a rebuke to former President Donald Trump. He's faced a lot of resistance so far, as you would imagine, from Trump supporters. The Trump War Room launched a campaign against Emmer over the weekend, trying to smear him. The House Freedom Caucus, also skeptical and not happy with him. The former National Republican Congressional Committee chairman was first elected to Congress. So Emmer, by the way, is also a former National Republican Congressional Committee chairman. What does that mean? An NRCC chairman, National Republican Congressional Committee. Well, that person is in charge of the political operation. So technically, by law, they can't run politics out of the Capitol, which, you know, on both sides happens some. But they actually have different offices kind of just across or down the street from the Capitol itself, where all of the political arms happen, where all the fundraising calls, they keep track of all their candidates for races across the country. That's what the NRCC, National Republican Congressional Committee, does. So Emmer was also the chairman of that. So the guy has some credentials. He was in leadership, a House whip. He's run the political arm of Congress for the Republicans. He was first elected almost 10 years ago in 2014, became the majority whip earlier this year. Emmer lost a race for Minnesota governor back in 2010. He was a state rep in the Minnesota legislature from 04 to 08. He sits on the Financial Services Committee. But here's the other thing to remember about Emmer. While he did not vote to throw out the results overall of the 2020 election, and good for him, he did sign on to a Supreme Court amicus brief in support of throwing out votes, particularly in Pennsylvania. So the guy is not pure on supporting free and fair elections, but at least he didn't vote to overturn the overall 2020 election in Congress. Now, here's the interesting part, and this is the reason for my question. According to Punch Bowl News, Jake Sherman, a few moments ago, House Democratic leadership last night expressed private openness to helping Emmer ascend to the speakership. Democrats wouldn't mind seeing Emmer lead the chamber, given he voted to certify the 2020 election. According to Punch Bowl News, House Democrats told Punch Bowl they find Emmer the least objectionable GOP speaker candidate. Think about that. He's not great. He's just the least objectionable Republican speaker candidate. Democrats say they'd be open to helping him, not by voting for him, but by sitting the vote out. If, and here's the big key, if they get private assurances that Emmer will A, fund the government at levels negotiated with the Biden administration and the Senate on the debt limit deal and put a Ukrainian plus Israeli aid package on the floor. Very shrewd negotiations right now in D.C. by Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats saying, look, we're not going to vote for you, but if enough of us sit out, you need fewer votes to become speaker. We would consider that, but we want your private assurance that you're going to fund and stick to the agreement we had with Biden and with the Senate on the debt limit deal. Make sure the government's funded. We're not going to shut down the government in November. And we want a Ukraine plus Israeli bill on the floor for aid. Emmer, and here's the thing, according to Punchbowl, Emmer wants to win the speakership, of course, but he wants to do it with Republican votes and apparently has signaled that he himself, Emmer, has no interest in negotiating with Democrats.
That seems like a really good person to lead the Speaker of the House, right? Somebody who has no interest in negotiating with people.
So once again, you know, we hear this narrative, right? Well, you know, Democrats, joined these 7 or 8 Republicans to throw McCarthy out. Well, no, Republicans have the majority. The majority party has to govern. They have to lead, all right? But here, once again, Democrats, as being reported by Punchbowl, are saying, look, we'll help out here. Not by voting for you, but just by, you know, oh, geez, I had to use the rest of money to get back in time to vote. That kind of thing. They just don't show up. And you have enough of them that helps Emmer get elected. But Emmer is saying, no, I don't want that. I want to make sure I get elected by Republicans. Now, why would he say that? Because as it turns out, Emmer is a Trumper. Right? Emmer is all about Trumpster, and he's hurt. He's a little hurt now that Donald Trump has been going after him this weekend. Let me see if I can bring this up on my phone here for a second. Just bear with me because I had a... Here we go. This is a reporter, Sam Brody from Minnesota, who tweeted out last night saying, having covered Emmer since his first term, it's a bit surreal to see him get tarred for being anti-Trump. Back in 2016, Emmer was the only prominent Minnesota Republican to help Trump at all. He showed up at the NRC, Republican National Committee, when Minnesota's two other Republican representatives skipped. So look, Emmer is a Trumper all the way back to 2016. Mr. Zomers, we have time to play this Trump cut. All right, here's Trump from last night when asked about Emmer.
Do you endorse Tom Emmer for Speaker? He hasn't historically been your biggest fan, but
Well, I think he's my biggest fan now because he called me yesterday and he told me I'm your biggest fan. So I don't know about that. Well, we're looking at a lot of people and, you know, I'm sort of trying to stay out of that as much as possible, but they'll get it straightened out. But no, I've always gotten along with him and I get along with all of them, really. A lot of good people. We have a lot of great people.
Trump tried to play kingmaker. Well, you know, he likes me now because he wants to be speaker, but, you know, I know we have a lot of good people, but, you know, yeah, look, he's fine. As soon as Trump said that in New Hampshire yesterday, where Trump was filing his paperwork to run for president next year, Tom Emmer, on his official House GOP Majority Whip Twitter, tweeted out, quote, thank you, Mr. President. If my colleagues elect me Speaker of the House, I look forward to continuing our strong working relationship, unquote. Should Democrats help this guy be Speaker? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. I'm not so sure. He's the least objectionable, but do we want him as Speaker? Give us a call. Your text as well. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Too late to whip it.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News special report. Republicans have just picked Minnesota's Tom Emmer to be the nominee for House Speaker after closed-door votes. He's currently the majority whip and was endorsed by the former Speaker Kevin McCarthy. CBS's Nicole Killian.
According to GOP Conference Chair Elise Stefanik, she just congratulated Republican Whip Tom Emmer as the Speaker designate. So that means he is now the official nominee for the House Republican Party.
Political analyst Matthew Green.
Desperation to get a Speaker may be so great that even the most intransigent members of the conference may decide, you know what, it's better to have a candidate I don't want as speaker than to have no speaker at all.
CBS's Scott McFarland says expect a floor vote soon.
This standoff unequivocally jeopardizes money for Ukraine, Israel, and a government shutdown in less than a month for as long as it persists.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve Kathan.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The jury trial started today for Jessie Kurzewski, a Franklin woman accused of poisoning her friend with eye drops. The jury, consisting of 7 women and 9 men, was selected yesterday. Kurzewski is facing charges of first-degree intentional homicide and 2 counts of felony theft. A toxicology report to be presented will reportedly show the presence of a lethal amount of a fatal eye drop ingredient in the victim's blood. That led to the determination of homicide as the cause of death. Wisconsin has been recognized by the federal government as one of 32 technology hubs in the United States, opening the door to potential funding of up to $75 million. The initiative is receiving support from prominent employers like Rockwell Automation and GE Healthcare in the Milwaukee area. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
While there are many unexpected factors that can affect the next growing season, farmers have grown to expect the expected with Rank Seed. Our consistent top-end yields come from strict quality control, trusted technology, and local dealers invested in your success. Rank Seed has been a family-owned and operated business since 1846. More than 175 years later, we still have the highest performing genetics on the market in all environments. Expect the expected with Rank Seed.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show. It is now 12:33. Mr. Zomer's on the board. Our time can change. Our hours can change. Our clock, where we take breaks, it can all change. The weather can change. But one thing will remain the same. Tuesday Tangents with Luke Jamison Mathers. Mr. Mathers, always a pleasure. How the heck are you?
I'm doing well, Todd. I walked in, I was like, "What? This isn't, what? Oh, this is the Todd Alba Show. All right, let's do it here on a Tuesday at 12:30.
Yeah, right.
Glad to be with you on the airwaves,
always,
friend.
Always a pleasure to be with you. So what do you think, we're I want to, before we move on, I want to get your take on this. So Tom Emmer, our next door neighbor, right? The House.
First time I've heard his name today.
He's the House Majority Whip.
That's a job.
Which Zomers asked a great question. He goes, what is that? Is that? So we went through a little, we explained what a House Whip does. Because, you know what, for me, it's just second nature, but I think it was a great question because a lot of people don't follow politics.
That's fair.
What does that mean? Thank you very much.
Well, I was like, what was that?
A little whip.
Well, Mr. Zomers, any familiarity with the show House of Cards?
I'm familiar with it in that I know House of Cards is a show.
Gotcha. See, that's how I found out when I was I was in college, binging that when it first came out.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of the first bingeable shows.
Right, it was.
And Frank Underwood, main character, Kevin Spacey's character, was the Democratic whip.
Yeah.
And that was his job.
And so send it all the way up.
I think that's the only reason that I knew what a whip was, because of that show, was knowing that you count the votes.
Right.
I could go back and watch that show, but I think going back and intentionally choosing to watch something with Kevin Spacey in it nowadays is kind of
it's a choice.
It is a choice.
But everybody else, I mean,
first three seasons of that television show, though, very, very good television. And the fact that he, we find out after the fact that he's a terrible person, that is hard. And it's one of those.
Acquitted, by the way. We have to do that.
Yes, acquitted. not acquitted of being a terrible person. Right. Acquitted of the
charges.
The charges accused of. Yes. You can still be a terrible person.
True.
That wasn't he was on trial
but
for.
But the point is here, that show was so well written, and it was obviously written by people who had been in the game, because it was almost just like going to work in some ways to watch this. I mean, there's a lot of truth. I mean, not to that necessarily extreme, but some of the things, the tactics, I mean, that's really used in politics.
Yeah, and the cinema quality.
Fantastic.
Like, it marks one of the first bingeable shows in the era of streaming. You cannot deny that.
I think it was probably arguably one of, if not the show that put Netflix on the map.
Yes, as its own production company.
Right.
Yes, as the streaming giant that it is now. Yes, and that is how I became aware of Whip. So without that show, I don't know if I would have known what Tom Everett's job was.
So that's Tom. He also ran the RNC, the political arm for Republicans, for a while. He was one of only two people up for the nomination who voted to certify the 2020 election. However, he did sign on to the amicus brief in the Supreme Court to challenge the results in Pennsylvania proper. So he's not necessarily pure on this. But now, according to Punchbowl today, Democrats on the Hill are signaling that some may be, because they're so, as you know, Luke, this is a critical point. We've got the debt ceiling. We got the government shut down in less than 30 days. We've got
November
Israel.
November 17th, before Thanksgiving.
Right. We got Israel. We got Ukraine. We need leadership. And apparently now there are some Democrats who are saying, look, we just need someone. We'll take the least objectionable guy who actually voted to certify the election to get something done. And we're willing to maybe sit out, not vote for him, but sit out to lower the total needed and help get him elected. And Emmer is basically signaling back, no, I don't want you. Should Democrats
want your help?
Right.
Just let
really?
Me earn it on my own?
Because he's already in hock with the Trump people. The Trump folks, the war room, were attacking and smearing him because he had the audacity to certify the 2020 election.
Unfortunately, I think that's smart of him. I think that the only way he's going to be elected by Republicans and not immediately voted back out, even if Democrats help, is if he not just licks Trump's boots, but like wines and dines his boots.
So, to your point, Mr. Somers, I agree. I don't think if I'm Tom Emmer or his staff, I think if they're a very selfish way, I think you're right. Because if they don't vote for you, if you say, well, I'm here because the Democrats sat out, you are a super weak speaker in that caucus. Agree or disagree, Luke?
I don't disagree with that statement. I don't know if I necessarily fully agree with it either. I mean, not only do American voters, but also these politicians, they've got memories of a cold fish. Like, we are all we are captive
to the immediate.
Well, in Ted Lasso, it's a good thing. You want to be like a goldfish. But we are all so captive to the immediate news cycle.
Yeah.
Where I don't know if like the traditional sense of consequences and having ramifications of, oh, well, you're only speaker because Democrats sat out. I don't know if that carries the same weight now that it may have before.
Right.
And so the fact that I don't disagree with that sentiment, that it would be kind of a relatively weak speakership. I think Kevin McCarthy had a relatively weak speakership as well. And nobody was talking about that until it came to the part where left the ability to have a vote of no confidence with one member.
But he kind of did that to himself.
Right. So, but that was the aspect of the weak speakership. And I guess you could say that was included in how he got the speakership in the first place, because it's the only way that he got the support after 15 rounds of voting. But it I don't know.
It's a mess.
It is.
But if you were advising Democrats, would you either sit out, would you do something just for the good of the country to get to make sure the government doesn't shut down and to support our allies?
I think Democrats, even without my advice and consultation, are of that mindset as it is.
Well, you're here, and Hakeem Jeffries isn't. So.
That's fair. I think personally, if there is going to be assistance from any Democratic members of the House of Representatives for a speaker to become elected, there should be something in it for those individuals.
Well, yeah, and they said
and it shouldn't be just the baseline of, oh, the government gets funded and are out. Like, there should be something. There should be a consequence for this dysfunction of Republican leadership, because that's what we're experiencing right now. Like, we are currently experiencing a dysfunction of Republican leadership.
They can't govern.
They cannot. And I don't know if they want to. And so
some of them don't. I believe that.
But collectively, as a whole, right now, they can't. So even though some of them might want to, as a whole, they can't.
Yeah.
And so it is interesting to me of the, we had a plus five Republican, or excuse me, plus five Democratic House last Congress. We now have a plus five Congressional House, for seats that switch from Democratic representation to Republican representation, like Wisconsin's third, previously represented by Ron Kine, now represented by Derek Van Orden. I think it'd be interesting to ask those voters, are you satisfied with the leadership that those votes ultimately led to?
Well, the third district, I would ask them, are you satisfied that your congressperson took off to Israel and didn't vote at all?
No, that's a very interesting point to add to the dynamic in Wisconsin's third.
Right.
But are you happy with your vote at this point? Are you satisfied with the outcome that this has led? That is a question I would love to hear from Wisconsin voters.
844-967-2789. If you want to join Luke Mathers and myself, 844-967-2789. Want to move on, Luke, to another story. Over the last couple of days, something I know that you folks were covering in the noon slot as well, from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Menominee Falls High School bans 33 books from its collection. Story online by Rory, is it Lenane, I believe? That's the journalist, says 33 book titles are being removed from Menominee Falls High School this week. According to district officials, they confirmed that in a statement, officials said the books are being removed because of, quote, sexually explicit content or profanity, unquote. District officials did not immediately explain who made that decision to remove the books, but said the books would be gone by the end of last week. The move appears to be one of the most sweeping book bans among those reported in Wisconsin in recent years. It swelled across the country. Now, many of the 33 books have been challenged by other districts, by Moms for Liberty, a very right-wing organization. The book list includes some of the titles that have been banned. The great author Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye. Also Slaughterhouse-Five and The Kite Runner. Some historic literature books that, you know, kids should have available to them, and yet they are banned. Luke, what's your thought on this?
I don't have a 14-year-old to 18-year-old. I don't know. Todd, you also? No 14 to 18-year-olds?
I know of.
So I'm not a parent of any children the age of Menominee Falls High School. Menominee Falls?
Yes.
The high school students that will no longer allowed to be able to check out these books from their high school library. But I gotta assume the best way to have a 14 to 18 year old not read something is to ban it and tell them not to read it, because that to me, I feel like that's one of those things they're just gonna go out and read it.
Well, I mean, what's the my sister's gonna kill me because I'm sure, why don't you know that book? I can't remember the author off the top of my head. You know, Hey God, It's Me, Margaret. I mean, it's a book of coming of age of a young girl and teenage and hitting puberty and going through all those things that change the life that girls go through when they become women. And there's it's a Judy Blume, I think, is the name of the author. And so what groups like these Moms for Liberty, which of course it sounds all, that's great. They're a very conservative, derogatory group that is extreme in their beliefs.
Well, this is the same group that was calling for all of the school board recalls back throughout 2020 and 2021. It's the same group that was working for bans like this to get kids back into classrooms, even though we still had unsafe procedures around COVID-19. They're very extreme demands by this organization. And to say that the best way to address anything is with just in education banning books is just very, very radical, and it is not an American approach.
Banning Hustler.
You know what I think says it all?
What?
I'm reading the list right now, and one of the books they have banned is The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood, which is a book, for those of you who don't know, about a society in the future that has regressed in a lot of ways to a low-tech world where women are quite literally just objects. They stay at home. They clean. They forcibly have children. And they don't read or anything like that. And I think that's
sounds like
fitting.
The Republican National Convention. But
yeah,
I'm
a little bit.
Sure. Let's go to the phone lines, 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Andrea in Menominee Falls proper. Andrea, thanks for joining us. I know this affects your community. What say you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. So I tuned into the meeting online because I knew I couldn't conduct myself appropriately in person.
All right.
I think it's quite interesting that many people showed up to the meeting and they pulled a paragraph or a page out of the book that they thought was vulgar or inappropriate and just read, you know, word for word, imaging about rape, about sex, about swearing for this entire group to hear and said, you know, some of these words I'm not even comfortable saying.
Right.
And I think it's an interesting strategy to try to trash the entire messaging of the book or to pick a book that they know will be so inappropriate and so clearly sexual and then tucking in a couple books, you know, written by people of color, just like how we were talking about The Handmaid's Tale, that have a really important message that people should be paying attention to. Just an interesting strategy that, you know, all of like six people used.
Right.
Another really interesting.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Another really interesting thing about the meeting is there was this divide. So there was about two sides. So there was like six people who showed up who, you know, read their paragraphs and applauded the board for protecting our children and all of that. And then there was the other side, which did have a split. But it was just such an interesting dynamic to see some people who said, yeah, I actually don't want my child to be exposed to this yet, or I want to expose this to them when I'm ready to talk to them about it. But I also don't support the school board telling me when I can and can't do that and stealing these books from my children and not giving me that right. And then, of course, the other side that just said, hey, like this, you can't just go against this policy that's in place. That's illegal.
Andrea, thanks so much for calling in. Andrea at Menominee Falls, really appreciate your on-site perspective there in the community. More on this, I'm sure, to come. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Bucks basketball. Mr. Luke Mather's wearing his Bucks hat today. Boingo.
Oh, yeah.
If he's set to go. Back after this, this is the Todd Allbull Show. And this is the Civic Media. Ready to go.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lots of sunshine this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 76. Winds out of the southwest 10 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 59. Overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. Daytime highs approaching 66. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Hiding from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
Welcome back to the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is noon 50 on the program. Mr. Zommers, what do you dial up there?
Well, you referred to the Bucks mascot as Boingo, so I dialed up some Oingo Boingo for you.
I appreciate that. As soon as I said it, I'm like, that's not right. What is it, Luke?
It's Bongo.
It's Bongo. See, Bongo. That's been my problem my whole life, is that I get my
Bongo. Or is it Bango? Now it's throwing me off. Is it Bango the deer or Bongo the deer?
I actually think it's Bango. See, I was yeah, half
Bango.
Right.
It is Bango. Okay, so it now is. Your Boingo is throwing me off because I'm like, wait, it's not Boingo, it's Bongo. And then, no, it's Bango. I'm like, wait. As soon as I said it, I knew I was wrong. I was like, holy crap.
I'll see your Boingo. I'll raise you a Bongo.
I'll raise you $168 million because that's what Giannis has got to stay in Milwaukee for the next 3 years.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Giannis is going to be here regardless whether we can remember the mascot's name or not. He is in Milwaukee, Lukester. For a little while.
There's going to be a 20-foot, like, have you seen the mural yet?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
What would you say? That's a 40-foot, 50-foot mural?
Yeah,
There's got to be at least a 20, 25-foot statue that's coming his way one day in the city of Milwaukee.
It's about 50 Scaramucci's high.
I think something like that. Is that how you measure things? Right. Okay. I thought that was a measurement of time, not height, but whatever.
Goes both ways.
Okay.
so did I for a while, but anyway, that's another story. But Giannis is here. He's not going anywhere.
Correct.
He's gonna stay.
Well,
It's great for Milwaukee. It's great for the Bucks.
This is why it's so important to listen to local media like Civic Media here across the state of Wisconsin. Because if you were listening to the national outlets in recent months, ever since Giannis came out and said after a very difficult early exit from the playoffs last year. Number one seed losing to an eight seed. That eight seed did go on all the way to the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. But it was a tough loss. There was a lot of self-reflection from Giannis, the team, the organization. There's a new head coach now. They made a trade for Damian Lillard. But all of that happened after Giannis said, I want a commitment to winning. And the national media took that and said, well, I think Giannis is going to be in Chicago soon. I think Giannis is going to be in New York soon. I think Giannis is going to go somewhere else other than Milwaukee soon.
But
and because he was on a Supermax contract, he could sign with the Bucks and solely the Bucks this offseason, or he could wait till next season, get paid a ton more, and possibly shop free agency. And they made the Damian trade. I think things are going well with the new head coach. I think there is a good feeling for going into this season that kicks off on Thursday night against the Philadelphia 76ers. And Giannis announces last night that Giannis Antetokounmpo will be in Milwaukee for another 3 years on this extension.
Is it ironic or is it planned that this extension matches up with Lillard's contract?
I think it's probably that has more to do with the bookwork that the front office has to do. I believe his initial extension was through either Chris Middleton or Drew Holiday's contract. So, like, it kind of just pairs up that way when you have really big superstars where there is just going to be some happenstance of layover for the contracts. And so I don't know if it's necessarily coincidental. I think it just happened to go that way.
All right. Well, I think, again, it's great to have Giannis in Milwaukee. And Mr. Zommers, I think you got something queued up here because this happened while Luke was on his world tour and all of his fans.
This was one of the things that broke through because obviously I was paying attention to the
No way. Yeah, really?
This is, yeah.
So Luke told me before he left, he goes, don't call me unless it's burning down. I said, what's the standard for, like, do you want me to reach out? He goes, unless the house, my house or Civic is burning down, don't contact me.
And so I didn't.
And I didn't.
Nobody did. Nobody did.
There was fire, but there were no smoke, no flames yet. And so we did not. But so this happened while you were gone.
Uh-huh.
Giannis Antetokounmpo tried brats. For the first time at a Brewers game.
I don't know how it took this long for him to try his first brat, but one of the playoff games, I believe.
Yes, yeah. So here's Giannis trying a brat at AmFam Field for the first time.
First brat?
Mm-hmm.
Right on, man.
There's a
blue
shoe right there. I know. No, I don't know what. And I go to Greece. Over there, they ask me, here in the States, where you from? I was in Greece. I said, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Okay? I've been here like 10 years now, going to 11.
No doubt, man. Good to have you.
he was just infatuated with this brat.
Yeah.
It was like the best thing ever.
On one of the other clips of the day, I love America. That's what he says.
Yeah,
when
for some reason, this one is broken. The video just stopped right there. Normally, right after that, he says, yeah, I love America.
Yeah. I saw that, and that broke through in my time away.
So over
Giannis news comes through.
Giannis news comes through.
The Damian Lillard trade happened, and of course I knew about that almost immediately. And then I was watching some of the Giannis and sports stuff while I was away. Because to me, it's not work. I just enjoy that.
It's fun. Yeah. It is what you care about. 844-967-2789. Susan from her car. Susan, thanks for listening and calling in. What say you?
I hope Giannis is going to have a Sheboygan brat because they're the best, actually. but I really feel like this is kind of light stuff, and I appreciate you having it on there. But I am a sports person as well, but I get tired of peak players making the organization do what they want to do, and I guess partially because at the end of the day, it's a sport. And it doesn't really have a big impact on anybody else's life except that person who's making a lot of money. And, you know, I guess to me I love the Packers, but I got tired of the drama with Aaron and is he going to stay or is he going to go? And it was kind of the same thing with Giannis. Is he going to stay? But he really feels like he's entitled, which is fine. I mean, we all feel we have value to add, right?
Sure. This is the deal of a contract, though. If we wait until offseason and next year, he could have made millions more from Milwaukee or another team. So this was the team-friendly deal of Giannis signing this three-year extension.
Okay, if you say so, because I don't follow basketball. But I think it's more, to me, if there's more, do you understand where I'm coming from?
Sure,
I
get it.
You know, that whether Giannis plays a day or a week or a month, he could break his leg and then he'd be gone. And, you know, somebody else would have to pick it up. So in sports, for me, it's like there's always going to be somebody that has to fill in your place. Nobody is indispensable.
All right, Susan, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call, Susan. Look, I appreciate Susan's viewpoint, but I actually think it's almost the opposite. To me, this is Robin Yount of the NBA, a guy who came here, who recruited only him, and he's trying to be loyal. To your point, he could cash out and get a hell of a lot more money next year.
Yeah, he could have signed another record-breaking deal next summer. He could have went to any city he wanted. Cities around the country, NBA franchises around the country are courting him. They want Giannis, and as the clip that Aaron played, he doesn't tell people that he's from Greece anymore.
Right.
He tells people he's from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yeah.
And
that is
a huge impact.
Like that
on any professional sport.
Yeah. But to have an athlete at that tier have that commitment to our city and our state, that's monumental.
And people can listen to the Milwaukee Bucks across the Civic Media Radio Network this year, including WRCE and Richland Center.
Yeah, Bucks and Six across six Civic Media markets.
I love it. Luke Mathers, your fantastic Tuesday. Tanzas with Luke. Thank you, my friend. Back with more on the other side, including what's worse. Don't miss it.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.